Welcome to the fifth episode in our CME podcast series on improving the transition process for pediatric IBD patients. The series is sponsored by the NASPGHAN Foundation for Children's Digestive Health and Nutrition, along with the North American Society for Pediatric Gastroenterology, Hepatology, and Nutrition. A special thank you to Merck Canada for providing support for this program, and also to our partners, the Canadian Association of Gastroenterology. I'm Dr. Tony Otley, chair of the program and professor at the Department of Pediatrics at the IWK Health Center in Halifax, Canada. During today's program, we will model a transition experience by highlighting challenging issues with special relevance to Canadian medical professionals and their patients. In addition to myself, our faculty today includes Kelly Phelan Kelly, an IBD nurse practitioner with the IBD Adult Program at the Capital Health District in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and also Andrea Cooper, who is a pediatric clinical nurse specialist at the IWK Health Center in Halifax, and someone with a lot of experience transitioning youth. In the other podcasts in this program, we have looked at transition from many perspectives. We've highlighted that transition is a process, while transfer is a point-in-time event. This is important because by the time young adults begin receiving care in the adult world, it's generally assumed that they have developed the skills necessary to manage their own care independently. However, it's important to acknowledge that young adults develop at different rates, and many will still require support to continue the transition process. Unfortunately, in Canada, as pediatric care providers, pediatric gastroenterologists, and the allied healthcare members of their team are not able to continue to follow their patients into young adulthood and the college years, as is sometimes done in the United States. So for the transition process of Canadian IBD patients, the actual transfer happens near the end of the final year in high school when the patient is 17 or 18 years of age. The key here being the age of 18 years, and that not all 18-year-olds magically become fully adept at managing their own health condition without some ongoing support from their family or healthcare team. The executive functioning skills needed for self-management are generally not fully developed until the mid to late 20s. To cover the pertinent issues and to make it relevant to both healthcare providers and transitioning patients, we decided to do a scenario where Andrea will play the role of Mary, who is an 18-year-old with IBD, who is transitioning to adult care. Mary is meeting today with both Kelly, the nurse practitioner with the adult IBD program, and myself, her pediatric gastroenterologist. This is part of the transfer visit, being one of her last with me and a first opportunity to meet with Kelly. So first I'll give you a little bit more about Mary. Again, she's 18 years old and she's a high school senior. She had Crohn's disease diagnosed at age 12, but she is now in remission on a biologic therapy. She's starting university in Toronto in September, which is out of province. Mary will be shortly transitioned to an adult health care provider in her home city, but will continue to be seen by her family doctor. So Kelly, why don't I hand things over to you, and you can start the scenario sitting down and talking with Mary.
Okay. Hi, Mary. How are you?
I'm okay.
Well, it's nice to meet you. I'm a nurse practitioner from the adult side. Tell me, Mary, what are your plans of care while you're away? What's your plan for care while you're away at university?
I don't know.
Do you think you'll need to be followed?
I guess, since I'm on all these drugs.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what we normally do in these circumstances?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Okay. So here at home, you'll be followed by a gastroenterologist who will be aware of your care and your disease, and you'll see them on school breaks and in the summer, and will work hard to coordinate appointments. And you'll also need a gastroenterologist in Toronto where you're going to school should you flare while you're away.
I guess that makes sense. Do you guys help me with that?
Yes, we can help organize that. If there's a particular gastroenterologist you want to see in Toronto, we can send off a referral to them. Otherwise, we'll connect with a colleague we know who practices there. We'll organize the GI specialist, but you'll need to go to student health so that you have access to a family doctor, and we'd really recommend that you do that right away, so as soon as you arrive in Toronto. You also have to start to think about things like how we will manage, you know, what you'll do if you flare, who'll be checking on your blood work, who'll be renewing your prescriptions. We'll have to work all those issues out. What about insurance coverage, Mary? While you're away at university, do you know what kind of coverage you'll have?
I'm pretty sure that I still have my parents' plan.
Oh, that's great. You're very fortunate. You should know, though, that universities often have insurance plans, but sometimes they have annual maximums, and on a biologic, you'll quickly exceed the maximum. You should talk to your parents about it, and if together you and your parents think that you have enough coverage through their plan, then you may want to opt out of the university plan, and that will save you a little bit of money.
Cool.
Are you worried about anything in particular as you start moving forward toward university?
No, I don't. Well, yeah, I guess. My brother's already in university, and he tells me all the time about how stressful it is sometimes and that the workload can be really heavy. And I've had some flares sometimes in the past when I'm really stressed out with school and stuff, and I'm a little bit worried that that's going to happen when I'm away from home.
Maybe, Mary, I'll jump in here and answer that question. You know, certainly that connection with flares and stress, we often hear that, and that's commonly seen in many patients with inflammatory bowel disease, so you're not alone. And the experiences that your brother describes also are, we hear that a lot of times, where leaving home, starting a new environment, like starting university, it can be very stressful. So you need to do things that can help minimize the amount of stress your body will feel. So it may sound silly, but one thing you want to do is you need to make sure you're sleeping regularly, getting a lot of sleep. You need to eat well as you do at home. It's pretty tempting, especially when you're living downtown at university with ready access to the fast food, that you can go overboard, but you do have to watch what you're eating.
Okay.
And the other thing, and I would say that you're probably, as a high school senior, you're already realizing this, but you've got to prioritize your workload. You want to balance the work you need to do around school, but also make sure that you get time for your extracurricular activities and to have some fun.
That's good.
I would advise that you contact the Student Accessibility Office at the university. Almost all universities in Canada have them, and they're there to help people with a physical or a health condition that's a disability. And it's really important that you do this early. So you can do that in advance of arriving at university, either by phone or writing them, or certainly if you haven't done it by then, in the first week or two of arriving at university. And the accessibility office can do all sorts of things. They can help you with accommodations around classroom and exam, for example, access to the washroom during exams. They can help with note-taking and off-campus service referrals. So in addition to the accessibility office, the other important thing is to introduce yourself to each of your professors and let them know that you have IBD. The accessibility office may be able to help you with these introductions, but it's really important that you don't let that go. You want to meet them, talk with them when things are going well, so that if something happens during the term and you start having a flare, you're not having to introduce all those things at that time. The other piece of advice would be that I hope you don't get sick, but if you are sick around the time of exams, again, that's when you want to make sure that you're speaking with your professor. You shouldn't write an exam when you're unwell, because once it's written, you can't take it back.
So if I wake up in the morning and I don't feel well, I should send them in like an email or something and ask if they can meet and let them know?
Definitely. So you want to meet with them and talk with them. You're also going to need a sick note. So you're going to need a doctor's note to say that they say from a medical standpoint that it's appropriate that you not write the exam. But definitely you want to meet with the professor. But I wouldn't write the exam.
And I can just go to student health for that one?
Yes, that would be so. That would be one avenue to go. If the physician in the student health clinic isn't comfortable writing that, they may feel more comfortable having the GI specialist. That again, you will have set up with a GI specialist in Toronto, and it may be they may recommend that you contact them.
Awesome.
I'm going to take this time to interrupt things. We're going to pause this installment of the podcast series. We'll come back to it in our the sixth episode, to complete the scenario about transitioning to adult care, the Canadian context. Again, thanks, Andrea and Kelly, for that and for going through this scenario with me. Thanks for listening to this episode in the CME podcast series on improving the transition process for pediatric IBD patients. Go to pedibd.org to subscribe to receive future episodes. I'm Tony Ottley.